Blessed be our God. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us sing together the Magnificat, which is found in the S, or beginning portion of your blue hymnal, hymn S247. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord, your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in reading Psalm 80. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock. Shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim, in the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Stir up your strength and come to help us. Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. The Lord God of hosts, O how long have you angered despite the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink. You have made us the division of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn. Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, the son of man you have made so strong for yourself. And so will we never turn away from you. Give us life that we may call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Shine the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but they had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. A member of this congregation, Nina Searcy, decided to write a history of her family. She spent years researching her ancestry, carefully jotting things down, searching out pictures and illustrations. And just a few weeks ago, she brought in a published book that she had finished, which I blessed. It's beautiful, beautifully written. The illustrations are extraordinary. But you may wonder, why would someone spend so many years writing about the past in their family, writing about their ancestry? What's the point? You know, more and more, websites like Ancestry.com are becoming very popular. People are curious about their lineage. My own grandmother, before she died, published a memoir, and it took her years as well, and she was so insistent that it get published. And I remember thinking, why bother with all of this? Now that she is dead and has been gone a few years, and I can pull that book off the shelf and read about her life, I'm beginning to understand. You see, we Americans, we think of ourselves as individuals who have free will and make our own choices, and that's true. But you and I are powerfully impacted by the people who came before us, either for good or for ill. And it's not just our DNA. I'm talking about the decisions that members of our family have made through the centuries have shaped who we are. And to learn about your family tree is to learn about yourself. I encourage every one of you to find out more about your roots. The Gospel of Matthew begins with a family tree. It begins with a genealogy linking Joseph all the way back to King David. You see, back in the time of the Bible, they did not think of human beings as individuals, but as members of a family line. You were defined and understood by your heritage and your village. Who you were was deeply understood to be impacted by who you came from. And Joseph came from a royal lineage, an impressive lineage. And even though he was a carpenter, the people of his village would have known his family tree, and he would have been respected. Now, I'm not saying that every ancestor of Joseph's was good. Well, certainly David made pretty big mistakes, didn't he? But if you look carefully, we heard in the Old Testament from the prophet Isaiah, and the prophet is pretty much chastising and yelling at a king who is also an ancestor of Joseph. This was King Ahaz. And in the line of kings leading up to Joseph, Ahaz was one of the worst. He did everything wrong. He never followed God. In fact, he decided that he was excited about putting a pagan altar in the temple. Can you imagine how that went over? Ahaz was a disaster. So it's not so much that Joseph's ancestors were perfect, or even all of them were good, but they were significant royal people. Joseph had an impressive family tree. In the Christmas story, Joseph is often overlooked. I picture him standing there behind Mary and the baby. Did you know that he never utters a single word in the Bible? Not one word. The man is silent. And there's only one adjective used to describe him. That which you heard from Matthew this morning. It says that Joseph was righteous, or in the ancient Greek, just. He was a just man. When Mary became pregnant, it says in the gospel that Mary was found to be with child. And I always wonder, who found her? Was it her aunt, her grandmother, her cousins? Well, you better believe that whoever figured it out spread the news. Gossip like that, oh gosh, less than 24 hours to get all over the place, right? That's how it works in the church. I'm sure it worked that way in the village. Everyone must have been talking about this young woman who is betrothed to Joseph of the lineage of David, and then she goes and gets pregnant. You must understand that Joseph had the power to kill her. Having a child out of wedlock was cause for killing. If Joseph had wanted it, Mary would have been dragged into the center of the village and stoned to death. And if you were a man and you found out that your fiance was having a baby and you knew it wasn't yours, how would you feel? Humiliated, I'm sure. Angry. Joseph had every reason to malign her, to cast her away, to talk terribly about her, to be furious. And yet he wasn't. It says in the gospel that he planned to dismiss her quietly, to save her life. Oh, he didn't want to have anything to do with her, but he also didn't want to hurt her. And that is very important in understanding who he was. And then Joseph has a dream. I have a lot of crazy dreams, do you? If I followed everything in my dreams, I would have a wacky life. And in this dream, an angel appears to Joseph and says that Mary is pregnant with God's child, and Joseph has a decision to make. Joseph has to decide between the gossip of everyone around him, everyone who believes that she should be cast aside, and the gospel. The gossip or the gospel? You must understand that for Joseph to take Mary as his wife meant that everyone would always be talking about them. Always. You can imagine, 15 years later, they have a whole slew of kids, but Mrs. McGillicuddy says, oh, they're lovely, but did you hear about their firstborn? In marrying her, Joseph was attaching himself to her shame and to her humiliation. He was saying that he was willing to cast aside his reputation, that he would choose what the possibility of what God said over what everyone else thought. He would choose the possibility that Mary was good and honest and true. That extraordinary possibility that she might actually be good. We're entering the Christmas holidays, and you all, I'm sure, will be spending time with your relatives and friends, and you'll have lots of free time to point out what's wrong with everybody else, right? How she doesn't raise her children right, or they don't eat well, or they watch too much TV. It is so easy for us, especially in our free time, to talk badly about others, to judge them or criticize them. It makes us somehow feel more secure. But think about Joseph's decision. He chose to see the good in Mary. He chose the possibility that God might be doing something extraordinary. He chose to seek out the good when he could have chosen judgment, gossip, criticism. If Joseph had cared about his reputation, Jesus would never have survived. Instead, Joseph sought out the good and believed in it. And I want you to consider doing the same. When you look at your loved ones and your friends, I'm sure that you can see all the things they've done wrong, but choose to focus on what they do right. Choose the gospel inside of them, the goodness, and lift it up. You have a choice with how you look at the world. And I'm not talking about ignoring the bad stuff. Oh, no. Be awake and aware. But turn your focus and your energy always to what is good in others. Have you all seen the movie A Beautiful Mind about the mathematician John Nash, who was a schizophrenic but so brilliant? There is this beautiful scene in the movie where John Nash and the people and voices that he's seeing are getting so out of control that he actually pushes his wife and almost hurts his baby boy. And the doctor comes to visit the house, and the doctor tells his wife that she needs to commit her husband to an institution for the rest of his life. And so John Nash's wife has a decision to make about the fate of the man that she loves most in the world. And when the scene opens, John Nash is seated on the bed in their bedroom, absolutely deflated, believing that this is the end for him, that he's going to be locked up for the rest of his life. And his wife comes in, and she kneels on the floor in front of the bed, and she takes his face in her hands. And this is what she says to him. "I have to believe that something extraordinary is possible. I have to believe that something extraordinary is possible." And she does not choose to lock him up, but to trust in his goodness, to trust that they will find a way together to make it through this horror of his illness. And more than a decade later, when he wins the Nobel Prize, she is there by his side because she chose to see the good in him. And that's your choice this holiday season. You are faced with the choice of Joseph. Will you choose the gossip and the criticism and all that fun stuff? Or will you choose the gospel? Will you seek out the good in others and lift it up and name it? Will you believe that something extraordinary is possible? Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
With all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord, saying, "Lord, come among us." For all who are ill, suffering, lonely, or in distress, I invite you to speak their names aloud.
Jackie, David, Lori, Helen, Gail.
Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For the welfare of the world, the peace among nations, wisdom for our leaders, and an end to all hunger and suffering. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For the church throughout the world, especially for the Church of Japan and this congregation here gathered, that we may be faithful ministers of your word and sacrament. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For those who have died, that they may be welcomed into your light and presence, I invite you to speak their names aloud. We remember especially Rennie Yarborough. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For all who have come to worship you here today, that we may have the strength to reserve time for you during this Advent season. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
We give thanks for the coming of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us also offer our thanks for all our many blessings. I invite you to name your blessings aloud. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
Father in heaven, in this holy season, help us to see through the eyes of Joseph, to see the extraordinary possibilities of your gospel. This we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. We're so glad you're here today. If you are new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to put your hand up and keep it up so they can find you. But we are glad you're here. Welcome, welcome. Someone right in the front row over here, folks, and oh, right over here. Welcome to you, sir, and welcome to you. So glad you're here. Keep your hands up, though, so they can find you. We're so glad you're here with us today. Thanks, Cheryl. And there's one here in the second row, too. Yeah. We had an awesome Christmas pageant at 10 o'clock. Thank you to all the people who made angel wings with real feathers on them or who let their baby be Jesus up there. It was an awesome, awesome pageant. Our Christmas Eve services are in your bulletin, and I hope you will check those out and figure out when you want to come. I love seeing you on Christmas Eve. Today is the last chance for you to buy alternative gifts or to visit our bookstore. The choir has an incredible CD that they are selling, so if you want a stocking stuffer, that's a good one. But that will be in Tolliver Hall following this service. Also, in the second week of January, we are going to welcome an intern here at the cathedral, and there's a little article about her in your bulletin. She has just graduated from college and will be starting seminary in the fall. And since our youth minister is about to have a baby and our canon pastor retired, well, I thought we could use some help. So she's coming to help us, and we're so excited to have her. She is from Kansas, and I baptized her when she was 11 years old. So fun to have her coming. And many of you may remember, but I myself was a seminarian, an intern here when I was in seminary, and it was one of the best things that happened to me in my life. So it'll be good to have another one coming. I hope you'll welcome her with me. Remember what Jesus says about giving. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, so be generous during this holiday season.
Thank you.
wonderful the work of your hands, O Lord. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embraced a people as your own. When they turned away and rebelled, your love remained steadfast. From them, you raised up Jesus, our Savior, born of Mary, to be the living bread in whom all our hungers are satisfied. He offered his life for sinners, and with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms on the cross. On the night before he died, he came to supper with his friends, and taking bread, he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Father, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. We remember his dying and rising in glory, and we rejoice that he intercedes for us at your right hand. Pour out your Holy Spirit as we bring before you these gifts of your creation. May they be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy things in your presence, form us into the likeness of Christ and build us into a living temple to your glory. Remember, Lord, your church in every land. Reveal her unity. Guard her faith and preserve her in peace. Bring us at the last, with Joseph and John and all the saints, to the vision of that eternal splendor for which you have created us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. By him, with him, and in him, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. now please join me as we send forth our lay Eucharistic visitor, who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Remember Joseph and the choice that he made, and choose to see the good in the world. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.